kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino.
You know, you cannot cheapen the branding of Filipino food just because of its location in the world and just because of the color of our skin. I want them to approach it from the same prism that they approach French food or Italian food. Give it the same respect.
Brown, queer, at female. Yan ang pagkataong dala-dala ng award-winning chef na si Adi Davo sa kusina. At aminado siya na siya ay classically trained ng pinakamagaling na kusinerang kilala niya, ang kanyang lola.
We grew up in Haro, in Molo area. So Food Central, grew up with tinuom, pancit molo, all made from scratch. And my lolas, you know, which you call it carne frita. And it was a Spanish influence, but sobrang savory niya. Nothing beats it. Even bistec. It's like a dry bistec. I don't know how to explain it. And inasal, inato. We always make that. Staple. Pochero. If I do something wrong, for example, syempre, prone tayo sa punishments, di ba? So my mom would ground me, and especially for summer vacations, and I would end up sa bahay ng lola ko, si mommy, we call her mommy. And because I'm grounded, I can't go out, I can't play. The only thing she does is cook. So jokes on my mom, I actually enjoyed cooking with my lola.
So hindi siya punishment.
Hindi siya punishment. I'm like, I'm enjoying myself. I mean, what am I, 5, 4? Then I'm learning how to cook from scratch. I'm having a ball.
Yung lola mo, she stayed behind when you left? And what yeah. made you decide to leave the Philippines?
Oh, that's actually a... Well, it was a family-based move, but there were like series of incidents that happened. It's actually related to a best friend of mine we lost during college. I think it was 2006. It's a bit dark. It's gonna get a bit dark. She was in Cavite, and she disappeared. She was doing summer classes. And then I got a call from her sister, who is also my best friend, kasi busmates kami noon ng high school. And it's like, she didn't come home. And a few days later, her body was found floating in a creek. So it hit too close to home, I think. And over time, like safety issues, especially for girls, you know. I think that was the main... thing that moved my parents was like, let's get out of here, and you know, I have family here already, so I think that was like one of the things that made them want to go.
Grabe, no, and I didn't realize that kasi yeah. usually it's like parang there was a job offer and usually parang yun, I mean there's also family here pero yung yeah. ganyan ka ano. And I guess, ang bigat niya, no? Well, at least you were with your family, pero yung adjustment ninyong lahat coming here.
Well, sa kanila naman, I think yung adjustment is yung lifestyle, you know? Because when we moved here, you weren't qualified for anything, di ba? Parang, unless it's local experience, it's not considered, you know? They just look at you, it's like, you have no Australian experience. So, you know, we had to rough it up, like me and my brother, like we took every job. And for some reason, 15 years ago, I became a baker. And I'm like, oh, I remember, I like this. This isn't punishment for me. I can do this. And then again, a series of like incidents happened. I had an accident where I hit my head because I tripped and I fell over like a few flights of stairs. I couldn't move my right side. I had memory loss and all these things. I landed on Raspberry Danish and it looked like, you know, it looked worse than it was. You know, I had to pop my eye back.
And oh my God.
Yeah, all these, like, it just led. It was like really odd. Like, how did this happen to me? And yeah, from then on, I got so angry. The doctor said, "Oh, you might not be able to move your right side for like years." I'm like, "Oh no, the hell, I'm not." No. And then we went to therapy. I started moving my hand in like 6, 7 months. And then all of a sudden, okay, what's good? I saw the name, Michael Chatto. Like he was the best in Canberra. That was 11 years ago, I believe. I harassed him. I was like, "Give me a job." I'm like, okay, like here we are. And then I just learned, absorbed as much as I can. I think there was a bushfire in 2019. Was talking to my grandmother. I'm like, "I'm ready for a head chef role. I'm ready for a head chef role." And she's like, "Don't worry, you'll get it." So I was doing all these like versions of parang fine dining style ng mga ginagawa niya. So relleno, she had this beautiful relleno crab bangus, and she did it like so eloquently, so much finesse and grace that I didn't see in my chefs. The way she would, empty that bangus and leave that, skin and flesh without damaging to fill it with something else. So I made a version of that that was kind of translated into something that's like casual to fine dining. And it got attention online at first. I'm like, "Look what I did to your relleno." It's like, "What is that? It looks like a dessert." And that's what she said. I was like, "It's so small. It's like, it's this one." I was like, "It's like a croquette, but not, And she was so proud. And then 2020, I got my first serious head chef role at Queenie's at Kingston. And then she passed away. So my grief, I'm still crying. My grief kind of just took over. And when it took over, my God, why am I crying? And when it took over, it's just translated into whatever that was. It's like good memories, bad memories. And I won. I won Chef of the Year. Right? And then now, after just like hiding in chefing for a while to push away the grief, everything's exploding. Like, oh my God, I'm lost. Like I don't feel like myself. It's because I haven't faced it. I created all the dishes, the beautiful dishes, all my menu from 2020 up to this point that's Filipino is a dedication to that part of my life.
Actually, I saw dun sa interview mo when you won the award kasi I read the article. Sabi mo dun na parang I bring my identity to the plate.
Yes.
So you're a proud queer woman, a proud
Yes.
Filipino. So can you
Yes.
tell me more about how like you bring this to the kitchen? Saka have there been any hurdles because yun nga, I mean, you're bringing your Filipino identity, your queerness to the
Yes.
kitchen.
Yeah, and also my middle child to the kitchen. You can see the way I plate, I don't necessarily have a big ego, but my plates do. It's loud. It's not subtle. It's colorful. Like it's there. It's in your face. If I'm putting chili there, I'm gonna make sure it's bright red. It's hot. You can smell it from a mile away. You know what's coming for you. There's a tall glass of water there and a glass of milk maybe, so you can handle it, That's it. Like, no sorries. If people want me to adjust it, I can adjust it. But if you don't say anything, any requirements, any dietary requirements, it'll come as is, plus extra. It'll be textural, it'll be colorful, it'll be flavorful. The pivotal moment for me from apprentice to really pushing for my own space, taking up space was I think it's a without naming him, like a senior chef told me, like, "You want Filipino food? They're ugly. Share plates." I remember him saying that. And I was like, "I'll show you. I'll show you what ugly share plates are." So if you can see everything I did, whether inasal, bistek, they look slightly modernized. And in my head back then, I thought I was elevating Filipino food that way, but it was still a Western vessel. So where I got lost was not championing our own cuisine in a way where, this is how it is. We can still make it look pretty and intentional, But the way we want to serve it, it's not a broth because it's there to make it look pretty, and then you can drop some oils on top, and then it'll look, 10 times more expensive. It's a broth because there's a bone broth. It's for nutritional reasons. It's there to nourish you, not just to impress you. So that's what I had to flip in, like the switch that I had to flip in my mind. Is Filipino food is healthy food. It's not just the party food that they see. That's why they think it's so unhealthy. You have like lechon, stuff like that. Like again, going back to tinola. If you look at the benefits you can get from that, crazy amount, kansi, labong, laing.
So, pwede ba natin pag-usapan yung Filipino restaurant that you're working with now or on now? So, yung ano na siya, di ba kakabukas lang? If you could tell me
It's
more
not
about
really
it.
fully open yet. It's actually owned by my people, good people. And then one day, while I was doing like a ton of hours making, Italian food, pizza, pasta, tiramisu. Oh my God, never-ending tiramisu. They just messaged me. I'm like, okay, I'll talk. And it's like we are opening a cafe, like I told you. I'm like, okay, I'm like cool, like. But we need someone who can bake because we don't bake. I'm like, okay, carry on. What are we baking? And you're like, pan de sal, Spanish bread, pan de coco. I'm like, ah, you had me at pan de sal, pan de coco. Filipino food is making a name for itself because it's being championed by the right people.
Yeah,
I'd say, yeah.
that's great. So, maybe connected to that, what are your hopes for Filipino cuisine when it comes to Australia? Specifically, dito sa atin, because it's growing now, it's making a name
Yeah,
for
I
itself.
saw like Michelin even is there. I want them to not only appreciate it, because growing up and also like I went here in my 20s, 20 years old, and they would complain about the smell of food, things like that that affect your psyche little by little. It's like I want them to be open-minded. Like I don't want them to question why adobo will be or inasal will be this much if they don't question, why bolognese is that much, let's say, or why kokovan is that much, right? Inasal takes time. You have to spatchcock it too. You have to do all these culinary techniques to it as well. But you cannot cheapen the branding of Filipino food. Just because of its location in the world and just because of the color of our skin. Nothing, nothing says Filipino more than food. That's what it is for me. It's like joy, extreme joy.
Nice yung bang makinig na iba pang kwento na tulad ito? Makinig sa Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, o sa iba pang podcast apps.